Hello, welcome to a brand new Fun Kids Science Weekly. My name's Dan. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for finding us. This is the show where we try and search out all the really strange bits of science lurking around the universe. This week, we'll take a look at a dinosaur that is possibly even more terrifying than the T-Rex. Also, you can hear about an animal that has been brought back from the brink of extinction, and we'll talk about the Big Book of Stars as well. That is on the way. Before that, let's see some of those stars. Let's head to one of the smartest schools outside of the solar system. This is Deep Space High.
Deep Space High, space for all.
Jump into a wormhole and travel to Deep Space High. The school is space. But hurry, because lessons are about to begin.
That's so lovely, Pixel. I can't believe you wrote that song yourself.
Thanks. On our planet, we communicate using music and song. So it's easy for me.
Hey, Professor Pulsar, you know you're always saying that there's a job in space for everyone. What about Pixel and her music? Could you work with music in space?
In a word, yes. Pixel, perhaps you'd like to tell us what you enjoy about music.
I like the way music makes me feel happy, calm or excited.
Computer, play us something relaxing. It's widely known that music can have a calming effect, and for that reason, it's sometimes used during rocket launches to help astronauts relax. And because rocket launches are very loud, experts in sound technology are needed to help reduce the noise in the cockpit. Vibrations can be catastrophic if they're not kept under control, so sound or acoustic engineers, as they're known, are vital members of space exploration. Computer, end sim. That's better. There's another place you'll find music in space. Most people have their own favourite playlists, right? Computer, give them a burst of mine.
Really?
What's wrong with a bit of country? Astronauts on the International Space Station have playlists of their own music to listen to when they're not working. Studies have shown it helps them to feel happy when they're far from home and even has a positive effect on their health.
Well, there's no other sound out there, so they might as well. Space is a vacuum, right? No sound can travel in a vacuum.
Well, you're not wrong about sounds in a vacuum. However, while space is a virtual vacuum, radio waves can be detected around planets and other objects such as comets, which we can convert to sound. And the results can be remarkable.
That's so weird.
And then music from Urch has reached further into space than almost anything else sent from the planet. Computer, bring up Voyager. The Voyager probes were launched in 1977 to explore the farthest reaches of the galaxy, and on board each of the two craft are golden records. As well as samples of Earth languages and sounds, there are several tracks of music. These crafts have travelled further than anything else, a whopping 13.9 billion miles. Who knows who's had a listen? Okay, just one more example, computer, please. In 2018, Elon Musk blasted a Tesla car into space. No one's quite sure why, to be honest. Most expensive car advert ever, if you ask me. But the car radio is playing a looped version of tracks by David Bowie.
That is kind of cool.
Music has the power to move us, change the way we feel. It can be inspiring or comforting and tell our stories. Space has inspired music, and music is itself part of the fabric of our universe. Now, come on, Sam. Have I managed to inspire you to get musical? Can I tempt you with a trumpet?
I think I'd rather have Elon Musk's Tesla.
Well, the search for a space career will have to continue. There's a job for you in space, whatever your interest may be. Before we go, a joke. How do you make a bandstand?
I don't know. How do you make a bandstand?
Take away the chairs.
That's terrible.
All right, I'll stick to teaching you lot. Class dismissed.
Deep Space High, space for all. With support from the UK Space Agency. Find out more at funkidslive.com/space.
It's time to answer some of your questions on the show. Thank you so much for sending them in, by the way. For the last year or so, sending in wishing congratulations for our amazing award, winning the Greatest Podcast in the History of the Universe Award. Thank you for that. Thank you for your questions. You can leave me yours as a review over on Apple Podcasts. That is what Nathan has done. He is from Staffordshire in the UK. He wants to know what would happen if there was no moon. Well, the tide and the seasons would be ruined. The tide and how the sea works, that is affected by the moon's gravity. So there probably wouldn't be much tide or many waves. That's not the only thing that's affected by the gravity. We get seasons, we get summer, winter, autumn and winter because of the angle of the Earth's tilt, which is 23.5 degrees. It means some places are closer and further away from the sun at different parts of the orbit. Now, the tilt is caused by the moon's gravity. It's what holds it there. Now, without the moon, without the gravity, the tilt would vary massively. The seasons would become unpredictable with extreme weather, and maybe you might have another ice age as well. Things would get pretty scary, Nathan. Thank you for the question. Also, this one is from Louise, who is in Scotland. Who wants to know why we draw stars with 5 points? Not really science, kind of history, really. We don't properly know, Louise. I mean, some cultures draw stars as dots and small circles of yellow, like how you see stars that are far away in the sky. Some have 4, 6, 7, 8 points. People think that maybe it's because of how the ancient Egyptians drew them in hieroglyphics. We spoke about the ancient Egyptians and the hieroglyphics a few weeks ago on the show, didn't we? Now, it's not completely silly, because sometimes when you see a really bright star, they will have points. These are called diffraction spikes, and you see them because of how the light enters your eye from something so bright at an angle very far away. But ultimately, we don't really know, Louise. But thank you very much for the question. If you've got something sciencey on the if you've got something sciencey that you want answered on the show, you need to leave it as a review for me over on Apple Podcasts. It's the Fun Kids Science Weekly. We've heard a lot about 5G tech this year. I'll be honest with you, I don't really know what it is. I don't really know how it's different from 4G. And it turns out I'm not alone, because research from Samsung shows that over half of people don't understand what it does at all. So we're getting some help on the show this week. Dr. Hannah Fry, get ready for this title, is an associate professor in the mathematics of cities at the Center for Advanced Spatial Analysis at UCL. She is also on the Whatever Next podcast, and she joins us today. Hello, Hannah.
I mean, that title takes up almost all of our time, doesn't it? It's like, we're done now. We haven't got any
more
time.
I know, it's been lovely to chat. That's what 5G is. More next time. No. Right, so I thought we'd go like straight in at the kind of the most obvious shallow end. Very basically, what is 5G?
So it's not just one extra G. I think that's like the baseline. Okay, so there's a couple of ways you can think about it. On the one hand, it's just slightly faster internet on your phone. So it means that you won't have to wait for videos to download as long. It means that when you do video calls, you won't, you know, the images won't get all pixelated. But it also, there's a couple of other things about it. So one is that it has a much smaller time lag. So you know how sometimes when you do a video call and you say something and then there's a gap and then the other person speaks, and then there's a gap and you're sort of just slightly mismatched. It's because there's a delay between them hearing you and you replying. So for 5G, that delay becomes really, really small. So it'll feel like you're in a room with someone. But the final thing that's sort of special about 5G is that if you can remember before the world shut down, if you were ever in a big crowd, say you went to a concert or maybe a football game, it's really hard to get any signal on your phone because there's so many people trying to access and everyone's in the same space. So that with 5G, that goes, that's all gone. So those are the kind of big things about it. But I think what's quite special about 5G isn't just those quite technical things of like, it's faster, more people be able to access the internet. It's more about what you can do when everyone has better internet on their phones.
So we'll get to that. Just let me ask you an even more basic level than that brilliant explanation. I guess, what is a G? How are our phones talking to the internet? How are we receiving data? And then at like a technical level, what is 5G doing to improve that?
So it's all very clever. It's all incredibly clever.
Well, I know, I've heard your title. I would imagine it is clever.
Okay, so the way that it works is, first off, that your speech, for example, gets translated into a signal that's got lots of ones and zeros. And then those go from your phone and they bounce through the airwaves to a tower, a mast. And they can also sometimes incidentally kind of bounce up then to satellites as well to like get around the world. Essentially the big thing about the difference between 4G and 5G, so it's which bit of when they're bouncing over the airwaves, the thing that changes is essentially which bit of that spectrum you're using, which bit of the airwaves you're using.
So great. Then the question that leads from that then, is this the best thing that we know? Is that the best kind of place in the spectrum that we know? Or do we already have an idea about 6 and 7G further down the line that we kind of can't make work just yet?
Yeah, there are people, there are like professors at universities who are already working on 6G. So it's going to be all the G's. It's going to be 2085 and it's going to be like, oh, rollout of 75G.
Do we know what G stands for?
It's generation.
Oh, so
it's literally like the fifth generation.
The version. That's amazing that we've already got an idea of later generations down the line. Now, you mentioned earlier on how it's not so much the tech that is so jaw-dropping at this point. It's actually how when everyone's got it, it's going to make everything better. Tell us more about that, how it will improve like our day-to-day life in ways that we don't really realize right now.
Okay, so one of the people that I spoke to on the podcast, they've invented this glove that you put it on your hand and then you can move your hand around and it can record your movements and replay them. So the idea was that if someone had a hand injury, if they'd hurt their hand, a physiotherapist could put it on their hand, do all the movements, and then it would go on the injured person's hand, and then they'd have these exercises that would strengthen their fingers, make them feel better. But if you've got a glove that can do that, that can record movements and then be used elsewhere, you could give that glove to a professional piano player, put on this pair of gloves, make them sit at a piano and play something amazing. And then someone else could wear the gloves, like me, for example, who can't play the piano, put on these gloves. And then suddenly I become an amazing pianist, like this incredible pianist. Now, like the thing about having this for 5G is that we could be at a point in the future where everyone's got these gloves. And then you want to, let's say you want to do a drawing. You put on this glove and you dial up on the internet to an incredible artist and they control your hand for you and do this amazing drawing. Or if your car breaks, maybe you call up a mechanic and then they can help you fix your car for you. So these are the kind of things, these are the sort of possibilities.
I love that. Is there anything else apart from like gloves that 5G, because you know, we've spoken a lot about 5G this year and a lot of people have been slightly unsure about what's going on with it and a few people are a bit annoyed, but like, are we doing this all just so we can wear a glove and maybe play the piano? Like, it will it improve me on the phone trying to chat to my mum, to video call my nan? That will all be better.
Yes, that will all be better. But I think it's not just, you know, at the moment we've got 2D screens, you know, quite grainy images often. There's that gap between when one person talks and the other person can respond. You know, I think that once you start having 5G, you can have headsets, like VR headsets, where you're in the room with your mum and she looks like she's looking at you, you're looking at her, there's no time lag, so it feels like you're in the room together. You could also, I mean, you know, you've got the gloves, you can, people also make like vests, internet vests, so you know, you could go over and hug your mum. Let's say she's wearing the vest, she can feel your hug. It's better to be in the same room as your mum, let's be honest.
It is. I love the idea that what we've got so far from this incredible tech is it's just like different clothes that I can wear that make me feel like I'm doing, like, listen, okay. So if you said, you also said that scientists are already in a lab somewhere working on 6G. Hmm. If 5G can let us do all this in instantaneous time, have you got any idea what the possibilities of this might be further down the line? Does anyone understand that yet?
I mean, I think that's what people are still working on. People are still working all of that out, I think.
Amazing.
But there's more to come, definitely.
More to come. And we're excited to find out about it. Well, listen, Dr. Hannah Fry, amazing title, or also on the Whatever Next podcast. Thank you for coming on and trying to help us like figure out this minefield of 5G. It's been a real joy.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, this week's Dangerous Dan is all about a dinosaur that might just be more terrifying than the T-Rex. And it's a lot like the T-Rex. It is a cousin of the T-Rex, but with one key difference. The Chendrosaurus was nicknamed Pinocchio Rex. Now, almost a complete skeleton of it was found in Guangzhou in China, which was called Chenzhou, so that's where the name comes from, the Chendrosaurus. Now, it's called Pinocchio Rex because it had a long snout with razor-sharp teeth inside. So it was almost a T-Rex with the mouth of a crocodile. It was 9 meters long, 800 kilograms heavy. It was actually a little bit smaller than the T-Rex, but that means it was nimbler, quicker. Possibly more terrifying if you think it was better at the chase. Now, its long crocodile snout made it very good at catching fish, but also how quick and big they were meant they were devastating to other animals as well. The Chendrosaurus was a deadly dino, and it goes straight onto our Dangerous Dan list. It's time to have a little look what's going on inside your body right now with one of our favourite geniuses on the show. This is Professor Hallux.
Hallux's Physiology Fix-Up.
Oh, that's a big stretchy piece of... What is that?
This nanobot is ultra-stretchoid polymer, just attaching it to this femur, all part of my plan to make a new and improved set of muscles. It's 3,000 times more flexible than human muscles, and so will do a much better job of shortening to move our bones. And it can work in pairs to move our limbs and return everything to their original position.
Butterfingers? I don't think the original position for that femur was sticking out of the television. Perhaps muscles are a little more complicated than, big elastic bands, Professor?
Quite possibly. Organs and systems in our bodies have a number of jobs to do, and they're able to do these jobs because of the way they're constructed and the way they work with other parts of the body.
Shall we see if your new and improved ultra-stretchoid polymer muscles make the grade?
Loading physiology file.
Muscles do a number of really important jobs. Job one, keeping everything in the right position and maintaining posture.
Well, my ultra-stretchoid polymer can wrap around the skeleton very tightly. Nothing's going anywhere. Surely a posture win.
Only if the posture you were after was trussed up like a Christmas turkey. Muscles are nothing like elastic bands.
Physiology fail.
It seems that maintaining posture doesn't mean not moving at all.
No, muscles are always moving, even when you're asleep. They adjust constantly to keep your limbs in the right place. Otherwise, you might find yourself disco dancing in your sleep or accidentally throwing a punch at someone.
I thought we agreed to drop that topic, nurse.
Job two. Movement. The muscular system creates the ability to talk, smile, eat, walk, swim, and play. Every motion in the body, every movement that it makes, relies on muscles. By receiving messages from the brain or from outside stimulus, muscles shorten and work together to enable the body to move in hundreds of different ways.
Look, I can move my invention in hundreds of ways too.
Physiology fail.
But it's not receiving any messages, is it? Muscles are made of cells, and those cells are constantly interacting with nerves in a chain of chemical changes. Your ultra-stretchoid polymer can't communicate with anything.
Well, there's one more job to go.
Job three, heat production. The chemical changes in moving muscles result in heat. This helps maintain correct body temperature.
Physiology fail.
Your silly elastic is as cold as a cheese string.
Looks like it's back to the drawing board. Physiology not only helps us understand the jobs parts of our bodies have to do and how they do it, it also means we can understand the effect other things have on our bodies, like the effect of space travel on muscles.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
On Earth, our muscles need to work quite hard because things are heavy. Even keeping us standing up without falling over requires muscles to constantly shorten and relax, work together in constant chemical communication with our brain.
Lift off.
In space, however, it's a very different matter. Without gravity, things are weightless, and that means muscles don't have to work as hard to keep the body in the right position or to move or pick things up. But if muscles aren't used, they become weaker. This means astronauts can be too weak to walk when they touch down.
That's why astronauts exercise hard every day. Tim Peake even ran the London Marathon in space.
So muscles are pretty good the way they are. But what about a better brain? Maybe I could invent one.
Here we go again.
Alex's Physiology Fix-Up, with support from the Physiological Society. Find out more at funkidslive.com/Hallux.
Let's get to this week's Science in the News. The vehicle in China's moon mission has lifted from the moon. It will carry the rock and the dust that it has collected from the moon to a service module, which is hovering above it, which will then bring it back down to Earth, where scientists in China will study it. Also staying in space, Europe's Gaia Space Telescope has updated its catalogue of stars. It's been described as the ultimate book of the heavens. It's a map of all the stars that it can see. It's plotted the precise locations of more than 1.8 billion stars, and it knows their exact distance from the Earth, and also their movement in the sky as well. It's still got 4 more years of work ahead. And finally this week, the European bison has moved a step back from the brink of extinction, which is good news. Europe's largest land mammal was almost wiped out by hunting and deforestation, which made it lose its home. But numbers have now risen to over 6,000 in the wild, and this recovery is seen as a huge conservation success story. And that is it for this week's Fun Kids Science Weekly. Thank you so much for finding us, for listening, for downloading. You can subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts from. If that place is Apple Podcasts, by the way, one of the best ways that you can leave me your question is on there. Leave it as a review. Put it on the comment box. Let me know what it is. Stick us 5 stars as well. Tell me your name so I can say hello, and I'll get around to answering it. Now, you can find so many brilliant podcasts from Fun Kids on Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your shows, or on Google. They're on Spotify. You can listen on the free Fun Kids app and at funkidslive.com. And Fun Kids, we are a children's radio station from the UK. You can hear us all over the country on your DAB digital radio, on that free Fun Kids app, and at funkidslive.com.